And welcome.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Allen, Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live! Woo!
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by AC Riley, Jesse Von Rudin. Been a while, guys. We haven't done this for like 3 weeks, it feels like.
I know. Like, AC Riley's got a full beard.
Yeah.
I got married.
You got married?
Yeah, did I totally really? Did.
To who? You get married, dude?
I'm not going to tell you guys. You might try to steal her away from me.
No.
Yeah. I know how you guys are.
We're not like that.
You'd be like, hey, Jesse's girl, right?
First off, I have a long-term girl.
Yeah.
Second off, AC Riley couldn't get a girl even if he tried.
I don't have any game. I don't.
You don't have any game?
I don't have any game.
You don't got no game? And with that Dracula haircut, I expect you to.
That's not a Dracula haircut.
What is that?
That's just like that's his regular haircut. He didn't boost it up or anything like that.
It's,
you know?
So it's pointy. Correct.
Yeah. So why didn't you do your hair for us?
I don't know.
Why are you not dressed up?
I have no game.
Me and Nick are wearing suits.
Yeah, we are.
We're not.
We're totally wearing suits.
You're both wearing sports apparel.
So
actually, this is just State of Wisconsin suit.
It says Wisconsin, and it has the Badger logo.
So technically, this is a college.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with sports.
But it's sports.
No, mm-hmm. It's nothing apparel. To do with it.
It's apparel, though.
It is apparel. That's right.
I look like a couch.
A couch?
A couch. Just a green couch.
No.
No?
I've never seen a Packers green
never
couch
never seen
before.
A Packer couch?
Mm-mm.
And that green and yellow couches?
I've seen a green couch before.
Have you really?
You have a green couch.
That's right, I do.
Yeah.
My couch is like puke green, though. It's not like Packer green.
Ah.
It's puke green because it's puked on a lot.
Well, that's good.
It's a lot of puke on that couch.
So it's authentic puke green.
It's authentic puke green, that's right.
Huh, did you have to actually take a swash into, Ashley Furniture and be like, this is what color I want?
Yes.
Or you just gave him an empty swash and went, blah! Like,
I did not do that.
I think he actually puked on the couch and then just took a paintbrush and he's like,
That's a lot of puke, man.
Nah, I did not do that.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you think of a savage?
Just, like a roller?
No.
Paint roller.
Didn't do that.
Use that spray paint. Like, you know. Like.
Already getting way off topic.
Yeah, we got a good show, guys. I'm going to talk with Jared from Fully Wielded Wrestling out there in North Dakota.
Great product they got going on out
there. Definitely. It's something you don't expect North Dakota to have. You know, you think of North Dakota, what's the two things that come to mind?
Yeah, corn?
I don't
That's
think
Iowa.
No. Uh-huh. It's usually boredom.
Yeah.
And flatlands.
When I think of a state that has nothing in it, I just always think of corn.
Hmm.
I don't know why. It's just the first thing to come to my mind. It's like corn.
What about obviously. Antarctica? Do you think about corn?
It's not a state.
Ice corn.
Ice corn?
It's not
ice
a state.
Cold corn.
It's a country and a continent.
He just said a place with nothing in it.
And we're talking states, though.
You just said places with nothing in it, so I just followed.
Yeah, Antarctica's got a lot of stuff going on, man.
It's got a lot of corn.
I actually had a buddy who went down there and did some firefighting. Right?
No way. Shut up.
Yeah, serious, man. They party.
You were just making everything up.
Oh, no, they party, man.
What's your friend's name?
Matt Hunt. You can look him up on Facebook.
All right.
Wow, what a generic name.
Yeah, well, at least it's not like my crotch. You know, like.
Or Dick Hurts.
Dick Hurts.
Dick
Hurts,
yeah, that's a good one. Jack Me Hoff. That was always the grade school one for me.
Jack Off.
Nope, not Jack Off.
I still
Jack Me Hoff.
Jack Me Hoff.
I still remember working at Topper's and somebody ordered a carryout and they put the name Jack Me Off.
Hmm.
And the person I was working with was just like, what's wrong with the names? Like, read the name just really quick. Oh, I get it.
Hmm.
I was like, oh.
Wow.
It's like, what? Their name is Jack Mehoff. I don't get it. Read it faster.
Jeff.
Jeff.
What?
Oh, so that's what Bray Wyatt's video says now when it actually pops in. He's like, Jack Mehoff. Is that what it is? All right.
Yeah, it is.
Well, guys, we got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Daniel Bryan's retirement. We got to talk about upcoming shows, and we got to talk about Fully Loaded Wrestling. But we're going to start with upcoming shows. So, which one of you guys actually have a Friday show?
I have a Sunday show.
I have a Saturday show.
All right. Well, paper, scissors, rock.
One,
two.
Go on, shoot.
Okay.
Rock,
one,
paper,
two.
Scissors.
Wait,
why are you counting?
I do one, two, three, shoot.
Okay.
One, two, three, shoot. All right, you go first.
All right, here we go. Right. So we got UPW presenting The End. And. Is it The End?
As we know it.
It's The End as we know it, apparently. What's that song?
It's an R.E.M. song.
The end you know, of the world. World as we know. No, but there's like some sort of a weird song that WWE used for a pay-per-view once. Like,
oh, yeah. It was
the end is near.
Wasn't that for like Armageddon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Alrighty. So maybe that's the song that'll be sponsoring UPW Pro Wrestling The End. Live, local, professional wrestling. So the UPW Heavyweight Championship will be on the line as the Prince of Strong Style, Malcolm Monroe III, defends his title against the real Brock Hall. If anything goes, Tag Team Warfare is Team Supreme. That's Brett Powers and Adam Hayes. Goes on up against Slick Rick and Peter B. Beautiful. The UPW American Championship is on the line as Trailer Park Prince, Brian Skyline. The champ takes on Dysfunction, who is the challenger. There will also be a tag team tables match. Dark Child and Chris Red Cloud will be up against the Ninja Warriors. Young Money Colin Brooks with his manager, Dr. Prattmeyer, will be going up against any former UPW star, so I'll have to tune in to see who that is. Grizzled Young Vets, Nathan Gust and Jordy Lee tagging up, and they'll be going up against the Fighting Upers, which is Jesse Anderson and Brad Sharp.
Yeah, he lost his judgeship up
yeah,
there.
He got,
yeah, yeah, he got unelected.
I think he was the guy that sentenced Stephen Avery that first time, so that's probably why he... Look at that pop culture reference here on Grapple Talk. Joey the Jet Avalon will be up against TW3 as well. There will also be an alumni battle royale, and I believe that Kat Pernikus will also be in action, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I heard.
Hmm. So, yeah, that's UPW coming up. Tickets you can get right now at UPWProWrestling.com for UPW. The end. That's what they're doing. Ringside tickets, $20. Adult tickets, $10. Kids, $1,200. Get in for $5. I'm looking for all the event info here on the event page. That's how we do things here. We're not very organized.
Hey, we're trying our best, though.
I think doors open at 7, and the show starts at 8. So it's a little bit of a late start
for
the end.
Well, that's good to know.
And if you hit up their event page, there's a lot of promos and videos and stuff posted on there.
Mm-hmm.
Grizzled Young Vets got one on there. They're always pretty good about being entertaining. I don't know how else to say that. So let's check that out. And, yeah. All right.
All right, cool. Underground Wrestling has a show coming up here on Saturday as well at 7 p.m. It's a night of heartache because, you know, it's the day before Valentine's Day. And
you get broken up with?
No, no, man. It's like one of those very lonely holidays for wrestling fans, you know?
Well, because all wrestling fans are single, is what you're saying?
Yeah, probably most of them.
Mm.
I wouldn't know because I'm married. All right. So, doors open at 6:15. Show starts promptly at 7. It's actually at 270 West North Avenue, Unit 21 in Villa Park, Illinois. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for kids, and kids 12 and under, they're actually just $5 for you guys. Okay, of course, there's a lot of good wrestling action happening. A number one contenders match for the Underground Wrestling Championship will be determined in an I Quit match as Jesus Bryce will be taking on GPA. The Underground Wrestling Champion, Mojo McCrean, will be in action against DJ Zima Ion. You're going to see the independent champion, Draconis, in action.
Mm.
The tag team titles will be on the line as Glitter Bombs, their tag team champions, will be taking on Hot Girl Heroes. Mm. I didn't know me and Nick were wrestling that night. All right. that's Underground Wrestling's A Night of Heartache. Of course, it'll be Saturday the 13th. Want to get your tickets now. Card is also subject to change.
And on Sunday, on Valentine's Day, Bad Mood Rising, SSW Pro Wrestling. It's at the Brat Stop, 12304 75th Street.
Mm.
That's on the Highway 50 west of I-94 in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Mm.
They want you to enter via the south side of the Parkway Chateau building using the door labeled B. Door.
So you don't want to use door labeled A.
That is correct. You do not want
to
do that.
What about door labeled C?
You want to use the door labeled B, so you want to do that one. Doors open to the public, and seating will begin at 3 p.m. The show will start at 4. General tickets are $5 to $8, first come, first serve, from the fourth row to further back. Ringside reserve is 10 to 12, and that's the first three rows, obviously. Scheduled to appear is the SSW champion Dave Rydell, tag team champion Shane Fury and Marcelo Spade, Lightning Division champion High Priest William Jacobs, Mr. M80 Marsh Rocket, Paulie Tomaselli, Rough Crossing, Matt Dewar, JP, GQ, Backwoods Brown, Colin Cambridge, Duncan Solitaire, the Master of Ceremonies, Mr. Ricklow, and the owner, RJ Daniels, and the talent manager, Devin Diamond, will also be there as well. Details online at sswonline.com. Mm-hmm. And just like Jesse said, card is subject to change without prior notice. For SSW, on Valentine's Day, bad mood rising.
Well, of course, those aren't the only shows going on. There's a plethora of shows going on this weekend, especially for all the lonely single wrestling fans out there. You want to make sure you check us out on Facebook, on the Twitters, on the... Do we put anything on the Weebly thing?
Just kind of the widgets of the social media stuff, so...
Widgets?
Yeah.
Should we actually start doing stuff with that website?
Maybe.
I don't know. It says Weebly in the address. Probably not. Weebly.
Weebly?
Weebly.
Weebly.
It's the Weebles. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
I had something important I wanted to say. Oh, yeah! So here's your non-wrestling news for the day, which is going to be a new segment. New Harry Potter book coming out this summer. Drop mic.
All right, so you guys excited about this?
Well, we don't have to talk about it.
It's no, I want to ask if you guys are excited about it, because I totally missed out on the whole Harry Potter craze, because I'm too old.
I love Harry Potter.
You're married.
I like the movies. Honestly, right now, let's do this. Harry Potter, one of the greatest movie series of all time. I'm going to say, I'm putting that out there. I don't care.
They're pretty good, actually.
Yeah, they're really good.
I mean, they're good movies, don't get me wrong.
I don't
understand the Harry Potter craze.
I don't read the books.
You don't read the books?
I can't read.
So what do you think this book's about? Yeah, you can read.
What is the question?
What do you guys think this book's going to be about? It's like Harry and how, like... 30 selling insurance?
I think he's like 40, and yeah, he might be selling. No, I don't know what he's doing. Maybe selling
insurance.
They don't have jobs in the wizarding world except for
bureaucracy. They get paid in fairy dust and BJs.
You can't really use that for like groceries. So that's going to come out to, 5 pounds of fairy dust and at least 3 BJs.
That's a lot of groceries in the wizard world.
No, actually, that's just bacon and, you know, bread.
Oh, you don't know the wizard world.
I just kind of figured that would be just
ratio to US dollar. He kind of looks like a wizard to me.
I don't think you look like a wizard.
I don't look like a wizard at all.
You look more like a wand salesman.
A wand salesman? You want to check out this wand? This wand's really nice.
That's what he charges. He charges 5 pounds of fairy dust and 3 BJs.
Yeah,
for an upscale wand.
Yeah, it's actually not even an upscale wand. It's
the floor model.
It's the floor model.
Nike's newest model.
Yeah, with the backwards swoosh.
But they do sell wands. I don't know if you knew that. That's another
Nike sells wands.
No, I'm just kidding. They don't do that. Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, another non wrestling related story. Did you guys hear about the magnetic shoes that actually help you defy gravity?
Shut up.
Yeah, man. Really cool stuff.
That's a lie.
No, it's not.
You're lying.
I saw it on the internet.
How much more stuff are you lying about today?
Nothing.
3 strikes and you're out, dude.
What are you talking about, man?
I don't know.
Totally got married.
You just got to keep bringing that up, don't you?
Yeah, man.
I know
you're really committed to the lie.
Yeah.
Jesse, you post everything about your life on social media. I wouldn't know if you're married.
Dude, the only thing I post on social media, wow, that coffee was good.
I know, that's actually true.
I can't believe they made
Sour Patch Gum, we're definitely living in the golden age.
Yeah.
Patch gum?
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
It's sour, and you keep on chewing on it because you hate your life.
Oh. I like Sour Patch. It's like Sour Patch Kids, but in gum version?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is weird.
It's actually Sour Patch Kids. He just keeps chewing on it.
You know what I miss? Those Warheads. I used to love those.
Oh, they still have those? Yeah.
Whoa.
Now, we'll get you a bag next show.
Can you really?
You can suck on them the whole time.
Anyways, wrestling-related news. Now to our next segment, wrestling-related news.
We haven't been on the air waves or the pod waves. What is it called, really, the pod waves? Let's just say the pod waves for like 2 weeks, and it's been a very chaotic, memorable 2 weeks, guys.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot going on. I couldn't even tell you everything that happened because it's been so much stuff going on.
I mean, we've been gone since...
The Rumble.
Yeah,
before the
Rumble.
Yep.
Yeah. We had an episode. We had
like AJ Styles making his debut. That happened.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Are you just stressing out because you're trying to figure out what we want to talk about here?
No, I'm just trying to figure out when the last episode was because
it was right before the Royal Rumble.
It was literally right before the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it was like the week before the Royal
Rumble.
There you go. So it was like four days before it. Yeah. We did our prop bets and stuff like that. You ended up winning the Rumble.
He won.
I won.
Nick won.
He won by 1 point.
You know, guys, I always win the pay-per-view predictions, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's probably because most of the time I just go with what I'm pretty sure the dirt sheets say.
And
you guys are actually creative.
You.
Yeah.
He actually reads the spoilers, and he's like, oh, so
I don't read spoilers.
I was like, I think this guy's going to win, and then, this guy's going to win. And then you have one, you guess one wrong, just so you think that Nobody.
Where are you going here?
I don't know. Yeah. I give up.
Stop touching your mic.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You keep doing that.
All right.
Stop that. You stop that right now.
Stop.
You lemonade drinking freak.
Stop it.
All right. Well, big news, though, that came out this week, obviously. Daniel Bryan coming out on Monday Night Raw, announcing that he's going to retire on Twitter earlier in the day. WWE pretty much made their whole show, based their whole show around that. And, you know, Monday Night Raw, USA Network gave Bryan pretty much 30 minutes to say what he wanted to say. They went over into the next show, and it was pretty emotional, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was I'll tell you one thing, though. They were really good about waiting to have that, literally the last thing of Monday Night Raw. Because, I mean, you had to get up early for work, and you still tuned in because you were waiting to see that speech.
Yeah.
Everything announced about it, you figured maybe that would be the opening segment, but then it's just like, Daniel Bryan addresses the universe later tonight. It's like, shit, this is going to be on literally the last thing. And then you have to watch the rest of the Raw so you don't miss it, because you don't want it to be in the middle of the segment and you just weren't tuned in and you miss it.
Yeah. It's pretty funny when you watch stuff like that. You know, like Edge's was a little different because it was very just abrupt.
Sudden, yeah.
Sudden, you didn't know about it. Daniel Bryan's, you know... And it's terrible the way it is, too, and I know whatever, but you're sitting there, and a little part of you the whole time is, man, I really hope this is a work, because you love watching the guy so much, you wanted to see him again, and you know, when he was telling his story about, you know, getting all these tests done, and, like, he wanted to get back in the ring, like, it almost makes you really feel for him, because you know that passion that he had for it, and how much he wanted to get back into it. Now, if you read all the articles and stuff that have been coming over the past couple of months, like, this guy was doing everything he could to get back in the ring. And then when he kind of mentions that whole New York test that he did, I think he called it like the EGG test or the EEG test. I mean, it just kind of breaks your heart a little bit. And he elaborated more about that on SportsCenter, and it's kind of shocking when you hear something like that and you understand everything. And that he kind of mentioned how he's been having, you know, post-concussion seizures, and he never figured out why, and this test really revealed that. It's kind of scary stuff, but it's just really sad because you went back and looked at his career, like I told you guys. Today, you know, I had some free time, and just because I think that's one of the biggest WrestleMania moments of my time watching wrestling is when he won it at WrestleMania 30. Like, it just, you watch that, and you're just like, man, you know, a year later, 2 years later, this guy is just completely out of wrestling, and it's because of a couple bunks to the head. You know, it's unfortunate, but good for him, you know, for getting out when he did. I think it's really interesting, too, when you look back at, I think it was either in the SportsCenter interview or it was on Raw when he mentioned, you know, guys like Mankind, Mick Foley, and Austin and things like that, like, you know, or Shawn Michaels and stuff like that. It's like, actually, I don't think this was actually on anything when I think about it. But when you think about, like, the testing they do now and the carefulness that they take to make sure that their guys are 100% or, you know, they're safe when they're getting back in the ring, opposed to back then. And you wonder, would all these guys have had those extensive, longer careers had we had the same protocol now that we had back then?
You know, that's always a good question. I would say yes. In the case of Shawn Michaels, he got out, what, 98? He had to. Mm-hmm. His back was shot,
yep.
You know, and he took enough time to recover, and when he came back, he was probably arguably the best worker on that roster, and that roster was stacked at that point in time. With Mankind, you know, he was basically forced into retirement in what was that, 99, 2000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was 2000, yeah. Basically forced into retirement, but, you know, he's come back subsequently after that. With Austin, like, after having that episode right before 19, like, he was going to go into 19 basically saying that was done. But I think that really kind of scared him straight. With Bryan, I think the thing that really kind of scared him was getting the EEG test back in New York. Because, like, everything you were keep on hearing was him going to do more tests. What the hell was that? I just got bonked in head with something.
Oh, that was weird. It was like a ghost.
Yeah, I just got bonked in head by the ghost of a concussion past, I guess. But it was one of those things where he was trying his damnedest. And I know we've been on the show before, and a lot of other people said it too. I think Bret Hart said it during the summer, was like, Bryan's never going to wrestle again.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as he was in denial for the last 8-9 months that he wanted to get back in that ring so much, I think having that test was probably the most sobering moment of his life, because then he was able to, like, really kind of start connecting the dots a little bit more. He started that speech off with a very simple, like, sentence, like him having 3 concussions right away his first year, you know, and just going on and on and from that. And it's kind of crazy. Like, you don't want to see a guy go out like that. But I'm glad he's done.
Yeah.
I am really glad, because now he's going to have a full life where he can do whatever he wants. And, you know, his first love was wrestling. But, you know, you're going to have more loves in life.
It's kind of like all the guys that have to walk away at some point. You know, you're always really sad to see him go. And, I mean, it sucks, you know, the first couple of months. But, you know, if you're a really big fan of Daniel Bryan, you'll look back at this a couple of months later and realize this is probably what's what was best for him and good for him for being able to walk away. I just find it interesting, too. It's like Bryan got all these tests done. He said he was in tip-top shape in case WWE was like, whatever. And they said that, I believe, that this test was set up to try to get him back for the Rumble. Like, they were trying to get him back in the ring if he could pass this one last test. And it's been a year, and I know concussion protocol is concussion protocol. When you look at the NFL, you know, you can pass concussion protocol within a week or two.
Yeah.
It looks like pro wrestling is taking more of the long-term approach. Like, they're looking at not how are you going to feel in 2 weeks, but how is this going to affect you later on in life, obviously, with the seizures and things like that, and looking at electro activity in the brain or whatever, electric currents in the brain. But I just find it interesting how WWE kept him on the shelf for this, you know, long period of time, but he found out about this test just like a week ago. So I wonder if where that disconnect was, because like I said, Bryan thought he was ready to go. He had clearance from all these other doctors. So how did WWE know?
I don't think they really knew. I think when they went and got that other test, it was something might have been overlooked, and whoever was testing it was like, whoa, because I guess it was just a small like lesion in his brain, just a small one, and it was enough to actually scare the doctor, be like, whoa, in the spot, and this is that, this is what happens, and, like, you know, that scared Bryan enough. But we're looking at a guy over the last, like, 16 years, like, we were talking, like, off the air, it was, like, how influential Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, really is to, like, professional wrestling game. And I know, Alex, you're one of those guys who, you got into the indie scene around 08, you know, he was a name already set in stone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is a career like a guy like Bryan, like, were you able to pull any influence from him or see guys in the locker room influenced by him?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I remember when he was on NXT, and I remember even before he got signed on as part of that whole ordeal, like, I knew who Bryan Danielson was because, I mean, you know, the American Dragon, you know, Ring of Honor, he's doing just so much good things on the independent scene. So then when he saw him on NXT, he's like, oh, that's good for him. That's awesome. And I still remember, like, he cut that promo about, the, you know, you're like, oh, I'm not what the WWE wants. I'm not, you know, I'm not this 6'4" tall dude. You know, I'm not, you know, muscles on muscles or something like that. But I'm still entertaining. And I remember, like, hearing that and, like, seeing that, like, you know, entire episode of NXT. And I was like, holy shit, like, this guy's going to be something. Because it's like, yeah, that really resonated just because it was just something different. And then you know, now fast forward to, you know, WrestleMania 30, when's, you know, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and he's had such a big influence on the WWE universe. Like, he definitely broke down a ton of barriers. Like, I can't remember who said it. Like, somebody said it on Twitter, like, and they showed, like, all the tweets, like, support from superstars. But, like, it might have been Sami Zayn, I think, if I think about it. But, like, Sami Zayn was basically saying, like, there wouldn't be an NXT. There wouldn't be, you know, Sami Zayn, there wouldn't be anybody that we have come to, you know and love in wrestling without a guy like Daniel Bryan, because he's not the typical prototype of a WWE superstar. You know, he's different, he's smaller, but at the same time, he's entertaining. So I think he's definitely made a huge impact on pro wrestling, because he's shown that you can be a small guy and still, you know, put in the work and have a great match, and people will love you for it.
And it's not even that, too. It's like, that's a big component of it, but when you look at just the whole career in WWE of Daniel Bryan, too, like, he was, whenever he was on a card, he was arguably the best wrestler on that card. He was arguably the most entertaining. With every storyline that he had, he always put 100% effort into it.
Yep.
And the thing about Daniel Bryan that you have to like, too, as just a somebody that enjoys wrestling as much as the love that he had for it, you know, he was never, like he said, he was never in it for the money or whatever. He was just in it because he loved the sport of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. And he was such just, it seems like, a down-to-earth guy. You watch all these interviews, you see him on SportsCenter and things like that, and people always say this, but he was just such a relatable person. Like, you could envision yourself, like, you know, I could see myself, you know, as Daniel Bryan, like, this average guy, this, you know, blue-collar guy that you can really get behind. And, you know, that's one thing I think that, you know, he was just able to draw himself in with that average fan base, because you felt like you were already so connected to him as a person, because you felt like you were him. And that was, you know, that's another component, I think, of it. Besides just breaking down barriers, it was just the idea of there's this guy that you're not going to be able to see anymore because he has to move on from it. But, you know,
And I think
again, good for him.
I think that's why Steve Austin was so popular in the Attitude Era, because, you know, a lot of people could envision themselves as Steve Austin, the guy that, you know, was, you know, for the that as always described as like he's the guy that was against the boss, that, you know, was saying everything that that they want. He was doing everything that they wanted to do to their boss, you know, to be able to give their boss a stunner and be able to be like, fuck you, boss, mm-hmm. blah, blah, all that stuff. And, like, for Daniel Bryan, he was, like, that guy that, you know, he, you know, had to, you know, overcome adversity with, you know, everybody getting the breaks that he wasn't getting, but he was working harder than those guys. And, you know, like, that's every work situation. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you might be at a 9-to-5 job and you're working hard and you're always, you know, putting your nose to the grindstone. And then it's like, hey, we're going to give Marshall the promotion. And it's like, that dude didn't do anything this mm-hmm. entire month and I've been busting my ass.
Marshall.
And, I don't know. I just made up a name. But, like, yeah.
Something else that I just want to bring up really quick and that I was thinking about, maybe this is just me thinking too in-depth, but I just always find it really interesting, too. It's like, here's this guy that's been working for a whole year to get back at what he wants to do, what he loves doing. And can you just imagine that emotional, that feeling when he hears his music hit and he walks out from behind the curtain? It's like, in his head, you have to know that he's like, this is the last time that I'm probably ever going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. I mean, I'm assuming part of the reason he wants to get away from, he can't be around wrestling is because he wants to wrestle. Like, he can't, people are like, oh, he'll take this, like, authoritative role, or maybe he'll be, like, a guest, whatever. It's like, I don't think Brian's the type of guy that can do that because he wants to be back in the ring.
Well, it's the same thing that Edge had to do.
Yeah. But can you just imagine that, though, walking out, hearing your music, hearing all the chants and stuff like that, being in the ring with a microphone, and then taking that last step behind the curtain after he left. I mean, just that feeling, knowing, like, you know, just a year ago I was doing this, you know, because I loved it. This was my profession. I was coming out here in tights and with long hair and a huge beard and cheering with the crowd. And now, like, I'm coming out here for the last time. I just think that's a weird perspective to look at. It's like realizing that this thing that you loved so much for 16 years of your life is gone, and this is the last time you're probably going to feel that moment. I just think, you know, like that, I'll be honest with you, like, I don't know how dudes don't break, like, you know, totally, completely break down when they're in the ring like that, because when you take a look at something like that, and I guess in a vacuum, it just seems like, it's like, wow, this is it.
Yeah, that, you know, honestly, I'm going to say I thought his retirement speech was probably one of the best.
It was good, yeah.
Promo speeches you're going to see, not just in professional wrestling, but in sports in general. Like, that was, it had you on your edge of your seat the whole time. And you got to see the love and the joy he actually has for the business, like, just radiating from his eyes. And, like, the way the crowd responded to him. It was the most organic response to any wrestler since Austin.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how long that's been.
Yeah.
That's, like, that's a long, long time. I think you're going to see a lot of things start slowly changing in WWE based on Brian's retirement. I think you're going to start seeing guys slow down quite a bit more.
Yep, 100%.
You're going to start seeing more stringent medical testing on guys. It's going to be, you might not necessarily might have the house show circuit as hardcore as it's going right now, where guys are wrestling 4 or 5 nights a week. It might slow down a lot more. It's going to be interesting to see how they do that. You look at, like, New Japan's one of the companies already kind of, like, being very proactive with that, where they'll give guys ample time to rest up in between matches. UFC is already spearheading that.
Yep.
You don't see a guy fight for like 3 months.
Yeah, the roster, even longer, maybe.
Maybe even longer, all depending, especially if they're not cleared medically after a fight.
Yep.
You might not see a guy fight for another year and a half. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here. I'm really glad that we actually got to see a guy like Daniel Bryan actually wrestle.
That was really,
you know,
really
we actually
cool.
got to be in crowds and do the yes.
Yeah.
You know, we actually got to see some great moments with the guy. He's one of the few guys whose whole career is, like, documented. You can go back and watch anything you want of him.
Yeah.
Like, online, picking up DVDs, anything like that. We're always going to have those memories, man. We're always going to be, man, that little short little bastard wearing the maroon. I can't believe how tough he was, and I can't believe how entertaining he was.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sad moment, but it's a good. It's also a great time to look back and mm-hmm. again, you know, good for him. He's going to do a lot for the business after he's done.
Oh, he's going to do a lot just for, not even just for the business, but like
sports
charities.
Charities.
I mean, God, he's already talking about helping out with, like, you know, cancer of kids and stuff.
He uses his retirement speech to plug an awesome charity.
Yep. A lot better than Peyton Manning using his post-Super Bowl speech to plug Budweiser.
Which is a terrible beer, by the way. Peyton, come on, dude. You're rich and you're plugging Budweiser?
Yeah, well, you know, Peyton's just a regular dude, man.
Good for Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I'm glad he
won. I can't believe he kissed Papa John on the field. Did you see that?
I did. He's just like, get out of here.
No. Papa John's like, I love you. And Peyton Manning's like, I love
you. He was
the
first person that he saw after the game.
Yeah. First person, Papa John.
As the clock hit zero, Papa John.
You know what? I can't believe more people are not giving him shit for that and just giving Cam Newton shit for the way he actually...
It's like, this dude kissed Papa freaking John.
Yeah.
Do you know Papa freaking John?
No, I don't
Watch his commercials.
I don't want to know Papa John.
Yeah, you don't.
This pizza's so bad.
You don't like Papa John pizza?
I love Papa John
pizza. No, I love Papa John pizza.
I wish we had one.
I think Papa John pizza was the best in town. Yeah, he probably knows that, dude.
Sorry. Okay, so Peyton Manning, if you're actually listening to this, or Papa John, if you listen to this, don't listen to that little bit where he actually just kind of shat on you, too. Just open up a franchise and lacrosse.
Please. Like, just on accident, he'll just like, oop, I just skipped over that minute. Oh, don't listen to that? Okay. Just
I love that. Yeah, I would do anything for that, man. Their breadsticks, their pizza, it was all great. Plus, what was their deal? Wasn't it 50%?
Yeah, something like that.
Gosh. We used to be door hangers for Papa John's. We'd walk door to door, and we were like,
easiest job ever.
15 years old, and just be like, here's your deal of the week, hanging on the door. 50% off pizza.
See, wow. I remember when I went to Milwaukee for school, and then like one of the like it might have been like a like maybe not Super Bowl party, but like one of the NFC Championship games or something like that. And they had just a bunch of like Papa John's pizza, and I was like, holy shit, I haven't had Papa John's in a long time. So it was a good time.
Anytime I go to a city, if I'm staying there for multiple days, like anytime when we went, me and Zari's family, when we went on a trip for an extended period of time, which we usually do once a year. If there's a Papa John's somewhere, I always make a point to order Papa John's at least one night. Just because it's like nostalgia purposes now, because I can't have it here in La Crosse.
And you can advocate, it's like, if anybody's just like, oh, you can have that when you get back. It's like, no, I can't.
I can't. Oh, you fold that. That day, oh, so good. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I'm getting hungry for
all
some
right,
PJs.
Yes, up next, though, we're going to sit down with... owner, operator, booker, commentator, manager, ring announcer of Fully Loaded Wrestling. This guy does it all.
Yeah, he does do it all. It's going to be great to sit down with Jared. He has a great perspective. He's only actually been – he wrote for the business for, I think he said, the past 6 years. But he's only actually been in independent wrestling for a couple years. But, I mean, the guy is doing wonders at Fully Loaded Wrestling, one of the hottest promotions, I guess you could say – at least in North Dakota, if not in the area, just based on what he's doing. Super interesting perspective. I don't think you're going to miss that one.
Absolutely. That's coming up next here on Grapple Talk.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Keeping you up.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Keeping you up.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling. We'll be right back.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going. Not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail. Not breaking when you're broken. Taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory. And what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hi, this is Corey from Independent Wrestling Apparel. Are you an independent wrestler trying to get t-shirts made or hosted online for sales? Visit us at independentwrestlingapparel.com or email us at indiewrestlingapparel@gmail.com and find out how you can get sponsored today. Are you a fan looking to get a shirt from your favorite independent wrestler? Visit our website at www.independentwrestlingapparel.com today and purchase your shirt of your favorite independent wrestler.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin.
I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
This week in Spotlight in Squared Circle, we are sitting down with Jared Gebhardt of Fully Loaded Wrestling in North Dakota. Jared, thank you for joining us this week in the Spotlight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Jared, first things first, how long have you been in the wrestling business now?
If you count writing for ProWrestling.com with my stupid blog, like 6 years. But actually at events, 2 years, because I started as a ring announcer in the old promotion that was here before ours started up.
So you were a writer, you were a ring announcer. How did you make that transition to actually running a company like Fully Loaded Wrestling?
Well, I was the ring announcer for like the last year that the last company was here, Northern Outlaw Wrestling. And then that sort of fell apart because the four owners stopped liking each other. So then me and my buddy Aaron were like, well, there's obviously an audience here because they went for like 7 years. And they didn't stop because there wasn't an audience. They stopped because they didn't get along anymore. So we're huge lifelong wrestling fans. So we're like, well, let's just kind of pick up where they left off and do it our own way. But there's obviously a market for it here. And so far we've seen there's a pretty big market for it.
Definitely. I mean, I've seen YouTube clips here and there when you guys post some of the matches online. And it seems like you said, it seems like there's a big crowd there. You bring in, you know, a lot of top name athletes. I mean, to really draw in the crowds more. I mean, what's been your favorite part about being a promoter so far?
Just how amazing the guy, the wrestlers are as like people. I just like hanging out with them. Like, as a fan, you sort of see like when you were a kid, they were larger than life. But now that I work with them, we haven't had a bad apple, and they're just a lot of fun to hang out with. I mean, Darren Corbin is one of the best human beings I've ever met. I mean, don't tell the fans that, but.
Definitely. And one thing that I find really interesting about this story, Jared, is the idea that you were kind of writing about wrestling for a couple of years, you ring announced for a year, and then you jumped right into promoting. And now, obviously, like Riley was saying, I mean, you got these really stacked cards. I guess, you know, what's it like for you, you know, just being a fresh promoter? And I mean, that idea that you've been in the business, you know, only for so long, but yet you're putting together these awesome shows.
Well, a lot of that is my partner and I, Aaron. I mean, Aaron's amazing at setting those things up. Like, he's the guy, he does the booking of the flights and things. I just say, hey, we should get this guy, and then he'll make it happen usually, or he'll say, you're nuts. but, you know, we try to have one bigger name because the market sort of reflects that. We didn't have a bigger name at a Williston show, and we didn't draw as well as we do or did in the past. We're like, okay, so we do sometimes need a bigger name. Not so much in Minot, because we just draw really well in Minot. We usually have standing room only there, but in new venues and new places like Fargo or Williston, and now we're gonna go to Bismarck, we try to have a bigger name. So like this next show coming up, we have Silas Young and Heidi Lovelace is our first female athlete that's going to be wrestling for us, and we've gotten a lot of buzz in the area from that, so we're pretty excited for that.
Definitely, and you're talking about guys like Darren Corbin, Eric Cannon, like you just said, Silas Young. How do you kind of do your research? I mean, how do you kind of, you know, figure out what guys you want to book, and you know, where do you go from there?
Well, I know Darren from the previous promotion that was here, and same with Eric, and we know Darren's been in the business a long time. He's really respected. So Aaron and I will kind of go to him and go, hey, what do you think of this guy? And he'll say, well, you know, he'll be diplomatic about it. If he doesn't, you know, if he's not a big fan of him, he'll let us know, but not be rude about it. And then I watch a lot of tape. I mean, I just watch a lot of stuff on YouTube and go, that guy's really good. Christian Rose was one of those guys. Like, I had never seen him up here. And then I saw a YouTube match of his in Steel Domain where he was really good. And I'm like, I talked to a couple guys. I'm like, yeah, you should definitely bring him up. And then he was the one that said, well, have you guys thought about bringing in Matt Cage? And then I started looking at Matt Cage, and I'm like, whoa, that guy's really good.
Yep.
And he's a different level athlete than I think what North Dakota fans were used to. So it actually took him a while to get the crowd behind him, because I think he was a step ahead of what they were used to, and now they love him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing I've noticed, like with North Dakota, South Dakota, is that there seems to be a really huge turnout for fans. Like you were saying, that like the previous owners, they never had an issue with attendance. It was just that they didn't like each other. Is that surprising that North Dakota and South Dakota have a big attendance, or is there really not a whole lot going on? So when there's something like wrestling, it's just like, hey, we're gonna
way to put it lightly. Wow. There, Riley.
Well, I'm
nothing
Dakota.
Happens in the Dakotas.
The whole
so.
Of America.
Well, I mean,
he's right. There really is like there's very little to do, and when there is something to do, people do turn out for it. But we still got to put put the legwork in. We always have radio ads going and flyers and TV ads and things like that. So especially in new markets, we like to do the TV ads. We get a weekly radio 3-minute spot on a local radio station here in Minot, 105.3 The Fox. So we get a word out that way as well. So
and I think
we definitely
that,
put the word for the crowd.
And I think that's what's really good about your business ethic there is just because, I mean, so many people might think, oh, well, we have a guaranteed turnout no matter what we do, so we're just not going to do any work. But, I mean, you know, still the fact that you're in Minot and we're here in La Crosse, and that's, you know, the only way we know about some of the stuff that's going on is just through social media. Like, we know what you guys are doing and how you're doing it is because you are putting in that extra work. So
yeah, it's just putting yourself out there and bugging people is the way I like to put it. Just always having fresh content for people to check out your site. We do a weekly YouTube show. Although we're changing the format of that now, instead of having an hour-long show every week, we'll just put matches up under a playlist for the event because I think people don't have time to sit down anymore for an hour and watch this, this, and this. So we'll give them like 10-minute matches under that playlist so they can go, all right, I can start at the beginning and I can watch the whole show through both nights.
Mm. Interesting concept.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. I know like a lot of places either do like with their YouTube show, they can actually just set chapter points.
Yep.
So you can skip ahead. What was one of the craziest things that you kind of ran into as a promoter dealing with, like, North Dakota, like, businesses? Like, yeah. What was the craziest thing you've ran into so far?
The craziest thing we've ran into so far was the hooligans and the Viking War Party got us banned from a venue in Fargo.
Tell the story.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Well, yeah. We had a we booked them for a street fight, and Harwood Community Center got a street fight. I don't think they expected as much as they got. They broke some tables and they were throwing chairs at each other. The crowd had an amazing time and they had a lot of fun, and we keep getting asked to come back, and we'll actually be back in Fargo on April 15th, just at a different venue. But they had broken some glass and they'd kind of gotten crazy, and the Harwood Community Center is full of, shall we say, older, more conservative people who were not a big fan of that. So, but I mean, we're bringing the Viking War Party back, so there's no heat with the workers. They did exactly what we asked of them. We had even warned the Harwood Community Center beforehand. We're like, hey, you know, these guys go around the room. They throw chairs at each other. This is something that's going to happen. They were cool with it, and then all of a sudden they weren't.
You know, Jared, I find this – I like the concept of this, and I find it so interesting too, because a lot of the guys that we talk to, a lot of promoters that we talk to, you know, have been in the business, have been doing something like this, whether it's – you know, working as a wrestler or a manager or even a ring announcer like you, but they've been doing it for such a long period of time, and I find it so interesting that you're still pretty fresh to everything, but I mean, it seems like you're kind of learning and growing with your company. Staying on that topic, I guess, I mean, what are you kind of learning, I guess, in your first, you know, year, couple years as a promoter here at Fully Loaded Wrestling?
Well, I'm not a wrestler. I've never been a wrestler. So one thing I'm learning is at the beginning, I just kind of said, okay, here's the match, guys. You guys figure it out. And I struggled with sort of saying, well, I want this because I'm not a wrestler. Mm-hmm. But wrestlers want a direction. And I didn't, you know, and now it's like, now I'll sit them down and go, here's exactly what I want from the match. I'll kind of give them, you know, the overall points I want to hit, and then I'll let them fill in the rest of the story. So that was kind of something like, you know, it was hard for me to go to an Eric Cannon who's been doing it as long as he's been doing it and say, hey, this is exactly what I want, and you're not doing this right. And, you know, something like that. It was a little intimidating. But now, I mean, now I have no problem going up to him and saying, hey, this is exactly what I want. This is what I need. Do this. And then you can fill in the rest of the story.
Definitely. So you said that you're not you haven't been a wrestler or anything, but I know that, you know, between ring announcing and writing, like you said, and then also I noticed that the last couple shows you've been managing.
Yes.
So with managing and putting a show together, because, I mean, I've seen promoters, you know, be on their card, you know, wrestling on their card, having to worry about a match and having to worry about putting the show together, make sure everything works out well. So what's that like to try to manage, you know, managing your match and also trying to make sure that the show goes off without a hitch?
It was actually a lot easier managing at the last show than it had been the previous few shows, because before that, I had been doing commentary for the entire show both nights. So I'd have to lean heavily on my partner, Aaron, to kind of get the guys where they need to be when they need to be there. Now, as a manager, I get to sit in the back and go, okay, guys, you're up next. Here's what I need. Here's how long the match can be because of what time it is, you know, and that kind of thing. getting them moved in and out. It's I'm pretty good at multitasking. I'm a dad, so I know how to manage a schedule. And
I noticed one of the things you actually do a lot is actually run those double shot weekends. Now is that just a factor of maximizing your talent so you don't have to bring in guys on odd weekends, or was it just one of those things that just kind of worked out?
We're hard to travel to. So it's easier to get guys to agree to do two shows, and it's actually cheaper for us to have the double shot for travel reasons. So, but we're actually to do shows now. We're going to do one in Minot, and then we're going to do one in Devil's Lake. So it's not just two shows, one town. We're going to try to break them up so we can maximize the crowd. Like Friday will be light here, so let's do a show there Saturday where it's usually heavier, and Friday's more in we'll draw more on a Friday in Bismarck than we do in Minot, so we'll do that. So we're just trying to maximize it that way. But a lot of it just comes down to we like to tell the story over two nights, and that's just how we like to do it.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing, another thing I find interesting is we've kind of been talking about the whole time, but here in Wisconsin, a lot of promotions, they have their booking philosophy, but a lot of it is, well, these guys are kind of around this area, so I'm going to book these guys. It's a less drive for them. They're already here, and we know they're good workers. For you, like you said, you're booking a lot of guys that are traveling hours beyond hours to get to your show. So I'm kind of interested between your, how your booking philosophy is. I know you said you kind of just watch some tape and maybe get some stuff from other guys, but, I mean, how do you exactly figure out which guys are going to fit for that show and how to write a story around them?
It's a lot of it is a lot of this roster was here before, the Northern Outlaw Wrestling crew. So guys like Darren Corbin, Eric Cannon, the local guys, Mr. Incredible, Mason Mayhem. And then we look at, okay, so we need a high-energy babyface to face this heel, and that'll be Matt Cage. So that's, and then, who can come with Matt Cage from that area? Can we get a carload? So then it'll be Christian Rose, it'll be Malachi Matthews, or from Minnesota, we always have a carload from there. The Iowa guys, right now, our biggest, most over babyface we have is Chainsaw King. He's out of Nebraska, but he comes up with the Iowa guys with Guns and Beer, who were our tag champs for 9 months. So it sort of comes down to who can all fit into a car to get here, and then we'll sort of position the card around that and figure out from there. But, Guns and Beer were up here with Northern Outlaw Wrestling. So was Chainsaw King. So
I really like that diversity. That sounds like you guys have going for you. Just a lot of guys from around the state's always kind of nice to have because it gives you a little different perspective, especially with, the different styles. We see that here in Wisconsin sometimes where if you get the Minnesota guys coming in and stuff, you still see that. Even though it's Minnesota and Wisconsin, there's still that variety there that you don't seem to get in different places, so that's always kind of nice.
And then we usually usually we'll also fly some people in because we have Allegiant. So we get cheap flights from Vegas, Arizona. So at our last show, we had Alexander Hammerstone, who comes from Arizona.
Wow.
For our FLW Cup in November, we brought an entire team from Vegas. So we had the Whirlwind Gentlemen, we had Eric Wright, and Mikey O'Shea.
Okay.
So and that was something like we had people coming from Minnesota because they had never seen the Whirlwind Gentlemen. We had a carload of fans come because they wanted to see the Whirlwind Gentlemen because they'd saw them on Paragon Pro Wrestling and wanted to see them in person.
So one thing I was wondering as well is so we were talking a little bit about the fact that there's a lot of people that you have to bring in from outside of the North Dakota area just because there's not a lot of guys that are from that area. But I mean, one thing that I notice a lot in like Wisconsin, Indiana, Minnesota is that, there's a lot of states that just have, wrestling promotion upon wrestling promotion upon wrestling promotion. Mm-hmm. It'll be like you go one city, there's a wrestling promotion. An hour north, there's like three of them. An hour west, you get the idea. But what's that like to be in a state or even like the North and South Dakota region where there's, three promotions actively running right now? There's you, there's EWI in North Dakota, and then now Eugene's running that Midwest All-Pro in South Dakota. What's that like to know that you're, putting on a lot of great wrestling, but it's what's that like to know that it's not going to be oversaturated because there's not a bunch of promotions in an hour radius?
Well, it's pretty great, but also at the same time, we can't get complacent. Like, we can't just go, well, we're the only show in town. I still feel like we have to continue to get better and continue to bring in new fans, and each show needs to be better than the last show, or at least different in some way, either through gimmicks or in that way. So, but it definitely, it's a challenge in and of its own to get people to realize that there's wrestling. Like, Minnesota, you're known for wrestling. You guys, that's a territory, that – people understand there's wrestling there. In North Dakota, you kind of have to kick people in the butt to let them know it's here. Even though it's been here for many years, people still tend to not know it's there. So you still got to kind of kick them their butt to get them there. Not so much in Minot, but around the state, we're noticing that we're going to have to push them a little harder. We have a show in Devil's Lake. They haven't had wrestling in 30 years.
Wow.
So we got that next on February 20th. So we're pretty excited to put on a show there and see. I know they have a National Guard unit out there that's hit us up for tickets, so we're pretty excited to put a show on there.
That is really cool. Now, coming up in actually next weekend, you got a double shot. You want to talk a little bit about that double shot weekend?
Yeah. February 19th, it's Anarchy in the Armory. We're actually trying a new venue in Minot. Mm-hmm. Not because we don't like the Vegas. They're an amazing sponsor. We usually have a show there, and it's really cool because they have the balcony, and it just has a neat look to it. But they had something going on that weekend, so we're like, all right, let's try the Armory. It's a much bigger venue, so we're hoping we can fill it. And on that show, we got Silas Young taking on Mr. Incredible. And Mr. Incredible is a guy I wish would get more exposure. He's a guy that doesn't travel a lot. He does a lot of work up in Canada and works for us, but he's an amazing, hard-hitting worker. And then, like I said, we're bringing in Heidi Lovelace. Mm-hmm. Is the first female wrestler that we've had. And then we start our No Limits tournament, which will finish at the anniversary show next month. And it's a new belt. It's kind of like our X division. And the first two matches for that have Stevie Fierce is in a four-way with Jared Jax and Eric Walker and Scott Storey. And then we have a three-way also for that first round with Matt Nix and Joey Anderson, Joe Dozer. And then we have another name to announce for that soon.
Fantastic. Sounds like you got a big weekend coming up. People want to check out Fully Loaded Wrestling. Where can they go for all the details?
Check us out on Facebook, Fully Loaded Wrestling. We're on Twitter, F_L_wrestling. And we have a website, FullyLoadedWrestling.com. On YouTube, we have a channel, and all of our matches, all of our shows are on there for free. You guys can just check it out, enjoy it. We have live commentary for every match, so it's a lot of fun.
Definitely. So next week is the next Fully Loaded Wrestling show. Go check that out if you're going to be in the area. Jared, for all of us here in Grapple Talk, thanks for talking with us this week.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
Excellent. Jared of Fully Loaded Wrestling on the Spotlight Squared Circle. We'll be right back with more Grapple Talk right after this.
Hey, this is the real Brock Hall. You want to get your reality check? Check out Grapple Talk.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerwek.net. Gerwek.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling, WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter at Smark Money. Check us out.
This is Stacy Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacy Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with this week in wrestling history, and we go, hey, whatever happened to? Check us out on iTunes or DBME.com.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hey, this is Raging Nathan Gust. You are listening to Grapple Talk, where they are raging 25-8.
That was a good sit-down interview there with Jared from Fully Loaded Wrestling. It looks like they got a big stack double card weekend coming up next weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing how that one turned out.
I don't know, man. I find it so interesting, and I said it like multiple times, and it probably got kind of old to Jared, but I find it so interesting that it's like he... Promotion runs in North Dakota. He has a couple local guys. Then he draws guys in from Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota. Flies guys in from Vegas, Arizona. Like, just the idea that you have like such a diverse locker room with a bunch of guys that, you know, just from around the country. Just it makes that show seem big. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, because you know, obviously, you know, here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, things like that, Illinois. We have huge shows here, right? But, you know, a lot of these guys we see on a daily basis. To think that, you know, you could go to a show and it's like, hey, what's up, man? I'm Dave. I'm from California. Hey, what's up? I'm Roger. I'm from New Jersey. It's like, that just, it blows my mind. It really, I don't know why it does, but it just kind of does.
Well, I think the reason that it blows your mind is because it makes the show that much more special because it's, you know, guys that are coming in from Vegas that you're not going to see every time, but when you do, it's going to be something special. So I mean that's definitely awesome that Fully Loaded can do that, and obviously that really goes to show that they're doing well there, because I mean if they were drawing like five people a show, there's no way that, unless they had like a dead uncle's rich inheritance or something like that,
uncle.
There's you know the old adage with that, but I mean like if it was just
no. What's the old
adage? I've never heard of that. Can you repeat
you
the old
heard
adage?
That about like you had a dead rich uncle and then he passes, so then you get that inheritance and then
so he passed twice.
Why yes. Would your uncle get why you know that you're not the first in line to get that? Or like you really good like
I don't know. Stop fucking poking holes in everything. fuck.
Mad.
You poked the bear.
No, but
so angry.
No, but seriously,
so
like,
angry.
It's. It goes to show that they're doing really well with the product, because if they were drawing five people and they didn't have, you know, a bunch of money on their own to just bring in these guys from Vegas, then that just goes to show they're doing really well, that they can afford that.
She's seen this guy this morning. We were going to a live shot this morning, and it's like 5 a.m. or whatever, and we're driving down like one of, you know, a street, whatever. And we don't have a stop sign anywhere. There's this car with their lights on, like 5 blocks away. You can see them, right? And they're stopped at a stop sign. And we're just driving down the street. And this dude to my left, AC Riley, like just starts slowing down. And I was like, he's not really going to stop when we don't have a stop sign. He does. Just completely stops. The car doesn't move. They're like, what is this guy doing? I was like, Riley, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know if this car is going to go or not. Like, are they going to just pull out like when I'm driving? I was like, no, they're waiting for us. And he's like, don't tell me to fucking drive. Just like yelling at me and stuff.
I didn't say that.
You blew up about it. You got hot over, you know, stopping in the middle of a street when you didn't have to stop.
Did he get Vince McMahon suspending Titus O'Neil hot?
He did. And I was like, man, this dude is just, this dude's angry.
Wow.
I was trying to make you, you know, driving a company News 8 card, just driving like a total jackass.
So guys, was the suspension of Titus O'Neil for 60 days warranted in your eyes?
Is that your perspective? Is that what the question is?
No, I'm just asking the question right now.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I get it. I get if he's trying to make, you know, the wrestlers act more professional in the public scene, then I guess that sets an example of, oh, if I fuck around a little bit, then I could be out of work for a couple days. So
I can just see it because, like, when I first initially saw that, like, somebody posted a video of it, and it's like, Titus O'Neil, whatever. And it's like, I told you guys when we were off air, but it's like, when you think about that moment, that Daniel Bryan moment, you know, like, he had the whole, you know, big promo, and then they do everything else on the network afterwards with, like, he's saying bye to his family, all the wrestlers come out and do the yes chant stuff. And you think about, like, just how important that moment was and how important that whole thing is, because people are going to go back and watch that for years, you know, just because it's one of the biggest retirement speeches we've ever seen. And then to think that it's ending with Vince McMahon getting pulled by Titus O'Neil. Like, that's the last – as they fade to black, it's a Vince McMahon getting grabbed. Like, I could totally imagine them going to the back and being like, yeah, we got that on camera. That's actually the lasting image. Vince would be like, oh, damn it. Damn it, Titus.
Well, you know what they should have done? When Brian went around the corner, fade it there.
They definitely should have. I don't know why
fucking
they waited.
Super easy, dude.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do that.
You think Vince goes in the truck afterwards? Who's the fucking editor who God fucking God damn it?
Sin Cara.
was he out there on the stage with everybody?
He was.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he was.
He was?
Yeah, the whole roster was out there.
I didn't see him. Did you
Cody
see
Cody Rhodes was out there.
Did you see Cody Rhodes trying to guess? And he's like.
He's just like.
Yeah, he's like this. Was
he
bad.
Like this?
Yeah, it looked like he had air dongs.
No.
Boom.
All right.
Boom.
So, wrestler's perspective. So, AC Riley, like, I ask you, as a wrestler, have you ever gotten a concussion in a match? And did you proceed to wrestle later on or further down the line without significant amount of rest time?
Did you get a concussion at the SWE show?
No, I just busted my head open. I don't think I've ever really had a concussion.
That is BS. You for sure got a concussion in that Fatal 4-Way match. There is no doubt that you had a concussion.
Was that a concussion?
There's no doubt that that was a concussion.
Well, I guess to answer your question, he'd answer for me. I guess I have done that.
I'm not even a doctor, and I know that was a concussion. There's no way that you didn't have
I
one.
Still remember, though, that, like hearing stories from, like, Red Lightning about, like, him wrestling a match and him getting knocked out and still wrestling, and everybody in the back's like, hey, man, that was a great match. It's like, what? I was wrestling?
Yeah.
Like, and that, like, I just, hearing stuff like that where your body's on autopilot and people are like, hey, man, great match, is like, I'm glad you liked it. I don't remember any of it.
Well, luckily, the spot that happened with you at RCCW was one of the last spots, but, yeah, down in the locker room, you did not look good. So I can imagine if you had to go for another, like, 10 or 15 minutes in the ring, that might have not been
and then
good,
I wrestled the next day, and then I took an elbow drop on the temple. I was like, whoops.
Well, we've seen it a few times. I still remember the show where Stardom got concussed. Evan, the following day, vomited all over the live wire.
Splash.
I remember that one very vividly.
And then they tried to pray the demons away.
Oh, he can't away a concussion. Travis Lee, God bless his heart, was there, and he tried to lay hands on Stardom to heal him. And luckily, Chris Hansen was there, and he's like, dude, that's not going to help.
And like the best part about it was like Chris was like EMT trained because of his firefighting.
Yeah.
And he was trying to check on Stardom and he gets shoved out of the way. I was like, I got this. Lord. I was just like, all right.
Was Travis Lee just trying to be in gimmick or something? Or
no,
what?
He's
I
just
think
religious.
He was trying to face heal
Shut
Stardom.
Up.
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah. No bullshit.
To each his own, I guess.
And then of course, you know, in October we actually got to see what Jason Masters got knocked out.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah,
the scene
that's
that
right.
We had there, that was interesting. I will never forget that. That was we're tearing down, you know, and he collapses. And it just chaos for another 15 minutes to the point where EMTs were called in. And they still took him to the hospital afterwards. He didn't have a damn clue where he was at.
Yeah.
For the life of me, like, I've looked over at that match and I still have no idea where that actually could have happened. I don't
That's
know.
The scary part about it.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I want to say it was towards the end, I think he took a shot in the head with a cane. That's what I want to say, because it looked like he was fine until, like, that point, and then that was, like, downhill from there.
But that's the scary part about it. Like, you know, you've heard it in football or anything else. It's like, it can be something, you know, you can get a chair, you can get chair shot to the head and be totally fine, and then you could, you know, take a, you know, a worker's punch the wrong way and you can be concussed. I mean, it's as simple as that, just getting your head rocked the right way. So that's one of the, you know, the scary parts about concussions, but, you know, it's something you have to be on the lookout for. The one thing that I think, you know, if we go back to Daniel Bryan, not too much, but the one thing I think that you can pick up from any of his interviews, especially the SportsCenter one, was if you even remotely think that you got concussed, you know, take notice and take responsibility of it right then and there, because, you know, I'm actually in the middle, and like, this isn't a cheap plug or anything, but I'm actually in the middle of doing an investigative report on concussions in high school. And the one thing that I've heard time and time again, whether it's from athletes or it's from, you know, trained physicians, is, you know, concussions right now are still so hard to diagnose sometimes, whether it's a concussion, a head injury, or, you know, just getting rung. But if there's even a little bit of doubt that you might have got concussed, report it and take care of it right away, because the only thing that's going to happen if you don't is they're going to pile up, and things like with Daniel Bryan and the seizures and stuff like that, that's what's going to end up leading to. So if you're a wrestler and you're listening right now, I definitely advise you, as, you know, just a person, you know, if you think you get concussed, it's important to take care of it. You know, don't just be like, oh, you know, I'm fine, I'm a wrestler, whatever, because that's how bad things happen. And, you know, that's one thing I've noticed in my research, and obviously from this Daniel Bryan thing, the connection is there.
Yeah.
Concussions can have long-term effects.
When you're done with that pack and it finally airs, we should actually have a doctor on talking about concussions.
We could do that. We really should. I think it would be a really good thing to have.
Yeah. Tape study this week, guys. Let's go back and watch a classic Daniel Bryan match as he takes on Kenta from Pro Wrestling NOAH. These two guys had amazing chemistry, and sad we never got to see it in WWE, but probably we always have the memories, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Leave the memories alone. I won't change a thing.
Yeah. Gonna keep going with that?
AC Riley, closing comments.
I got nothing.
Nothing for Tidizzle?
I got nothing for Tidizzle.
Well, we do want to, like, this matters at all from coming from us, but Bret Hart, you know, I don't really know how else to say it, you know. Hart's thoughts and prayers are out with Bret Hart and the Hart family, and really, I mean, just a shocking thing that's happened in pro wrestling that you hate to hear. But you know, Bret Hart's a strong guy. Hopefully, he can overcome it. And
he's a guy who actually endured himself to a lot of fans. Like, the outpouring from the community was insane, absolutely insane, to the point where even Madison Square Garden, where he spent a lot of his career, up on the big electronic screen, wishing Bret Hart the best of luck in his battle against prostate cancer. You can't, man, it'd be a shame to lose that one.
Yeah, the way I heard about it is, I think I was on, like, scrolling through Facebook, and I think, like, the Bret Hart official page or whatever, you know, had, like, it had long paragraphs, so you had to press the read more to see more, and it's like, you start reading off the first couple lines, and it's talking about cancer, and you're like, no way, like, no way.
Yeah.
And you get to the bottom, and it's still pretty ambiguous, you know, still pretty ominous, and then you get to the bottom, and it's like, I will beat cancer or whatever, and you're just like, come on, man. Like, everything that's happened in wrestling, and now this happens too, it's like...
It's been a depressing first couple months for wrestling.
Yeah. But Bret Hart, yeah. Hopefully he puts that prostate cancer in a sharpshooter, man. Makes a tap. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how exactly you put that in a sharpshooter, but...
I think he could.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, that's it for Grapple Talk this week. We'll be back next week. Who we got on tap for next week?
We'll see.
Also, we don't know exactly when or not yet, but we do have...
Will C is my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, it's a good wrestler. Yeah. We don't know exactly when or not yet, but we do have an episode that we taped during the live Royal Rumble pay-per-view. God. We probably will post that at some point, so it's going to be extremely outdated, but, you know, it could just be like a little lost episode, so... you know, like this past week, I listened to Steve Austin pretty much go through the Mankind Rock match at
Raw?
Was it? No, I think it was a pay per view.
No, I think it was Raw. It's the one where Mankind won the belt.
Was it that one?
Yeah, it was Raw. I think it was like the first Raw of '99.
Oh, I thought that he referenced the pay per view a couple of times, but
Austin's like, yeah, I didn't have much to do in that match. I just ran out. I hit Rock with a chair, hit him with the gimmick. Also, Mankind pinned him 1-2-3. It was a great moment for Mankind. That place blew up. Could have happened better tonight, son of a bitch.
I could listen to Austin talk for, like, days. Like, it's just how he how he talks is awesome. But and his love for the business is awesome. But, I mean, that's kind of what the Rumble is, except for it's way worse analysts and analysis. Yeah. And, yeah, it's just whatever. So maybe we'll post that at some point. You can be like a little freebie. You get two episodes 1 week. Two for one. Two for one.
Two for one.
You get two for one episode.
Two for one. Lots of fun.
So that will be coming up. So just stay tuned for that. We'll post that at some point. This one will be coming out, though, as it's regular timed, and then we'll have another one next week. So thanks for joining us this week on Grapple Talk. As always, for Jesse Von Ruden, AC Riley, I'm Nick Ragner. Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Pinheads Entertainment Center, that's 13825
Britton Park Road.
Who you calling Pinhead?
Who you calling Pinhead?
Who you calling Pinhead?
Who you calling Pinhead? Who you calling Pinhead, Jesse?
SpongeBob reference.
No one. I don't watch SpongeBob.
Wow.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Because most of the promos we know have generally huge egos. They think they're the best thing since sliced bread. But we all know the best thing since sliced bread is frozen pizza.
And Katy Perry.
Exactly. Ugh, no.
What?
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.